Amen. I don't know about you, but that song is a reorienting song for me. When I start to feel overwhelmed by what's going on in my life or in the world, I sing that song and I'm reoriented to the fact that He is the one who has the power. He is the one who is at work, and it's just a good reorienting for me. Well, it's spring. And signs of spring are everywhere, right? You drive around and you see tulips and daffodils and all sorts of flowers poking through. Spring is also a sign or a time for us to do some cleanup at our house. I don't know if that's the case for you. So yesterday we were putting mulch down on the garden beds, and we have a lot of trees in our front and backyard. And so there's just bags and bags and bags and bags of leaves. So I think yesterday Roger and William did about 10 bags. I think we have about 20 more to go for the backyard. So pray for us. If you love raking leaves, we'd love to have you over. And this is just the spring leaves. This is not the fall leaves that we've already raked up. So just a lot of leaves. But one sign of spring that has become a tradition at our house apparently is, so I have we have wreaths on the front door every season. And so we have our Christmas wreaths still on the front door. So I was going to take the Christmas wreaths off. And as I took one off, I've learned this before that I need to be careful because sometimes, or often in the last few years, birds will make their nest in the wreath, and they did. A few years ago, I didn't know this, and I picked up the leaf, and I did it kind of roughly, and like I saw broken bird eggs on the ground. It devastated me. I'm like, I killed birds. Anyway, baby birds. But I saw a nest, and so we have a couple pictures. So look at that. That miracle was hanging on our door. So you see there's two eggs, there's a third one under there, and there's like an actual live baby bird. Apparently I don't get out much, right? I don't see live animals. I don't know, it fascinates. I'm just like, this is so cool. Called all the family around. And the second picture, if you could show that, that's what Roger took from way up above. You can see the three eggs there. And so we see the mama bird coming and feeding her, and we can't get too close to the door. Otherwise, we freak her out, and she flies off. Isn't that cool?
There's also a bird nest in the light just above the kitchen door on the outside. So if you go out, be careful, because the mama bird always flies out, and she might hit you in the back of the head like she did me.
I get it. As a mom, I get that protection piece, right? I'd hit you on the back of the head, too. No offense, but I would. So it's going to look a little bit like Christmas at my house for a few more weeks with the wreaths on the door till the baby birds hatch. And I'll try to give you an update on how they're doing, but so cool. So for us at the Jones household, the bird's nest and those little baby the bird eggs and the baby, that's become a sign of spring for us. And last week, it was Easter Sunday. Can you believe that was a week ago already? And there were signs of Easter everywhere, right? You walked in and there was this empty cross. That's here every Sunday, but it seemed more poignant last Sunday that the cross is empty because Jesus died and then rose again. And then, do you remember what was right over here? Nothing says Easter like a hot tub, am I right? No, but we had our inflatable hot tub, which was for our baptisms. So those are signs of Easter for us here at Celebration, not to mention when you came on the property, you saw the front lawn dotted with round tables covered in purple tablecloths and wonderful decorations. I don't know if you know, but they were donated to us from Zaria and Charlie. They were their wedding decorations, and now they're Celebration's decorations. So super fun. But those were just some really fun signs of Easter. Breakfast burrito brunch at the brunch and all the yummy food and the kids having an Easter egg hunt and the conversation and the lingering at the tables together. Those are signs of Easter for us. Easter, though, we call it Easter Sunday, but it's more than just a single day. If we're careful, it's more than just a single day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's tempting to build up to Easter. We have Easter Sunday, and then we get on with our lives. And in a way, that sounds kind of appealing. I don't know about you guys, but we were tired last week. But Easter season is like spring. It's a season. The church calendar
sets aside 50 days to marinate in the resurrection of Jesus. The good news of the resurrection, to recognize and live in the signs of the resurrection. Why? I think it's because throughout church history, the church has needed more than just a day to reflect on the signs and stories of resurrection. We need the signs and the stories of resurrection. We've needed it for 2,000 years, and we need it today. And so just like there are signs of spring everywhere, there are signs and stories of the resurrection all around us. So this morning, we're going to look at a particular passage. It's going to be a brief message, we hope. A brief message for me about some signs and stories that we see of the resurrection. And then afterwards, I want to hear from you. You are the people of God, the ones who are filled with the Spirit, right? And through whom God speaks. And so be listening and paying attention to what signs and stories of resurrection has God shown you or written in you, or have you seen around you? So pay attention. So we're going to have an extended open mic here in just a few minutes, and then we're going to close with a little bit more worship. Because I don't know about you, but I need a little bit more worship. So we're going to be in a resurrection passage today. If you would turn to Matthew 28 with me, it's going to be in your handout, or you can follow along on the screen, or close your eyes and just listen to the words being spoken over you. It'll be Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. It says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men." Kind of picturing, rather a bit sacrilegiously, of like goats, you know, like when they fall over and freeze, or sheep, you know, like when you scare them. That's kind of how I'm picturing in my head the guards. Scripture does not say that. That is straight from Jill. Verse 5, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. Then you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" These are the words of the Lord. It's helpful to remember when we are celebrating the resurrection that the world back then, 2,000 years ago, isn't that different from our world today. The writer Derek Penwell said, "The earliest followers of Jesus didn't walk away from the empty tomb with their problem solved and a spring in their step. They walked away confused, frightened, and facing the same empire that had just lynched their teacher and their friend. What changed after Easter wasn't their circumstances so much as their orientation to those circumstances. Resurrection didn't remove the threat of violence and tyranny all around them. However, Jesus' resurrection told them that violence and war was not the truest thing about the world. The resurrection changes things. Sometimes the resurrection changes our circumstances. Sometimes it doesn't, but it changes how we view what God is doing, what the world, what's going on in the world. It shapes our understanding, changes our understanding of that. It's helpful to remember that in times like these, there have always been times like these. So in this passage that we just looked at, we see at least three signs of resurrection. Three signs that show us what is true about the kingdom of God. We see that outsiders are included, that ordinary moments become meeting places with God, and that broken relationships are restored. Those are signs of resurrection. So we're going to look, again, just at a moment, for a moment, at these signs and stories. Outsiders are included. We know, we're familiar, most of us here in this room are familiar with how women are viewed throughout history, specifically even in the ancient times, and how if you take, when you read scripture, you have to remember how women were seen as unreliable witnesses and were just a necessary part of the backdrop. So when you read scripture and you see how God treats women and views women and talks about women in the Old Testament and the New, it's radical. It's radical. So when Jesus rises from the grave, he leaves the empty tomb. The first humans that he talks to are unreliable witnesses. They're outsiders. He speaks to women. You guys, that's a big deal. As a woman, that's a big deal. And I have the microphone. For many women who are enslaved or suppressed around the world, it's a big deal. Doesn't mean that women are greater than men. No. It means that in the eyes of God, he created us equal and that outsiders are included. These women, two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, are on their way to the tomb with spices to do what women normally did. They would prepare bodies for burial, for the decaying process. Mark's gospel tells us that not only were they worrying about how they were actually going to get into the tomb to prepare his body, well, that's what they were worrying about. That's their main focus. How are we going to get into the tomb so we can prepare his body? They're not looking for or prepared for a miracle or a resurrection. They're prepared for a dead body. The Roman guards are also at the tomb, stationed there by the religious leaders to prevent anyone from stealing the body and then claiming that Jesus had risen. They're prepared for a heist or a robbery, and their lives are on the line. If that body gets stolen, it's punishable by death. So these are outsiders. The guards and the women are outsiders to this angelic vision, but they have different responses. The guards were so afraid, the word here is phobos, phobia. We get the word phobia or fear. They were so afraid that they shook, the same word that was used for earthquake. They shook, again, that picture of sheep just kind of like freaking out and like freezing up. Such a fun image. Again, it's not kind to the guards to get portray that image of them, but it's kind of what comes to mind. They played dead. They were so afraid. And then we compare their response to the women. Notice, the angel does not direct his words to the power holders at the scene. Do you see that? Outsiders are included in the kingdom of God. The angel doesn't direct his words to the power holders. He directs it to these scared women. The angel tells the women, don't be afraid. The women were afraid, but there was also room for joy. They didn't play dead. There was room for joy. The impossible happened. Jesus, who was truly dead, is now alive, and they're going to see him again. A sign of resurrection is that outsiders are somehow included. I want to remind you of what Galatians 3 says. We've read this a number of times here at Celebration. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And this is what he said. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What is he saying here? That it doesn't matter that we're one mushy mass of sameness? No, no. He made us all different to reflect the nuances of who he is. He's saying that those differences should not be used to divide and separate and hold some in higher esteem than others. He says, no, outsiders are included. You all have an equal space at my table. The resurrection reminds us that outsiders are included in the kingdom of God. I'm going to go through this a little quickly, so stick with me. It also tells us that ordinary moments become meeting places with God. The women take off running to tell the men, the other disciples, when they run into Jesus on their path. Did they bump into him? Did they run headlong into him? Did they see him in the distance and slow their steps? We don't know. We know that they ran into him. They met him on the path. Early in the morning and in an out-of-the-way place, they saw Jesus with their own eyes. Not only had they heard that he was alive, they saw it, and they were surprised and shocked and stunned. This Jesus is alive, and this alive Jesus met them. This was the first of many encounters, person-to-person encounters that Jesus had. Time and time again, we hear stories in the New Testament where the resurrected Jesus, he appeared to people in ordinary moments and in ordinary places, by the side of a lake, in a locked room, walking on a path to a nearby town, over a campfire. Not with the fanfare that we would expect of something so miraculous. N.T. Wright says this: what we say about death and resurrection gives shape and color to everything else. If we are not careful, we will offer merely a hope that is no longer a surprise, no longer able to transform lives and communities in the present. For those of us who have grown up in the church, myself included, the resurrection becomes something that we think about on Easter Sunday but easily forget, rather than ordinary moments being transformed by the movement and the power of God. That he can come into these ordinary moments when I'm having a difficult conversation with my child, or when I'm driving down the road, or when I'm in Starbucks or at a staff meeting, that he can come into those ordinary moments and transform them. They can become a meeting place with him. The resurrection is anything but mundane and ordinary. And he transforms those ordinary moments into meeting places with God. So, what are the ordinary moments in which God meets us? That his spirit is present in ways we wouldn't expect. Would we recognize that it was him? Would we recognize him on important days like graduation? Or our wedding day, or the day we get baptized? Would we recognize him on the average Tuesday, or when we're out working in the yard? Would we recognize him on days that we feel betrayed and broken, or happy and whole? The resurrection means that ordinary moments become meeting places with God. And lastly, we see, and I love this one, that the resurrection tells us that broken relationships are restored. Jesus tells the women here in verse 10, he says, go and tell his brothers to go to Galilee so that they will see him. Go and tell my brothers. Did you catch that? What did he call the disciples? Wait a minute. Aren't these the very same ones who abandoned him, who denied him, who doubted him just a few hours earlier? He's now calling them brothers. He somehow took their weaknesses. He takes their weaknesses and their inclinations towards self-preservation, and he heals them and he reconciles them. That's something that the resurrection power of God can do. I I think of Aaron Prince, who got baptized last Sunday, who in his testimony is talking about how when he was around 20 years old, he was betrayed by a friend who robbed him. I think at gunpoint. And part of his journey, I think the resurrection power of God's healing in his life is that Aaron was able to forgive his friend. I've shared pretty honestly and openly that forgiveness is not my wheelhouse. It's hard for me when I've been hurt. God's growing me, still growing. I was stunned by that. That level of betrayal and trauma that Aaron experienced and the evidence of resurrection in his life is that God enabled him to forgive. That's resurrection stuff. That's kingdom power stuff. Resurrection looks like God bringing healing and hope to a weary marriage. Resurrection power looks like companions in recovery who together walk in the hope that God is their power and that God can sustain. Resurrection looks like what happens in this room on Sunday afternoons when Light of the Nations meet, their church congregation meets, and it's differing tribes, I believe from Rwanda, who come together every Sunday to worship. And it's been a long journey of reconciliation and healing and wholeness in that congregation. That's resurrection power. Or as I came across this, and I love, love, love this, author Jared Stacy, he puts it that resurrection is God's form of sabotage. He says, God's form of sabotage is ultimately not of this world, even as it remains for this world. Holy sabotage is brought about not by the power to crucify, but by the power of one who was crucified. So that the world may know that there is an alternative to the violence that characterizes the relations between peoples and nations. It's subversive. That's why we say the kingdom of God is upside down, because the signs and stories of resurrection talk about healing and wholeness and loving one another and things that were broken now being made whole. People who were on the outside now being included and being seen and being valued and being loved in Jesus' name. It means that God can transform the ordinary moments in your life and mine into something that's powerful and infused with his presence. So when we celebrate the resurrection, and we're going to do this a little bit over the next few weeks, it's not just remembering what happened 2,000 years ago, or that it's going to come, that he's going to one day come and resurrect us all and make everything okay. No, resurrection in the kingdom of God is the sign that God is working right here and right now, that he's bringing about his healing and his wholeness and his power and his mercy to every moment, to every person, in every situation. Resurrection tells us, Jesus' resurrection tells us that the kingdom of God, not governments, not businesses and corporations, not systems, not powers of the moment, but Jesus, the kingdom of God, has the final say. And he's still at work. So we're going to hear from one another here in just a moment about maybe signs and stories of resurrection that you have seen or that you have encountered. But before we do, I want to give you a few minutes to just sit in this space. And there's a question in your handout. I'll give you 2 to 3 minutes. And then we'll move to an open mic. But how have you seen or witnessed, how have you seen signs or witnessed stories of resurrection? They happen every day. They're not just recorded in Scripture. They happen every day. And I'd love to hear from you. So let's just take a few moments. If you could play a little music, Alex or Ben, and then I'll bring us back to the open mic here in just a moment. Lord, we thank you that you are not a God who is distant and far off, but that you are near. You gave yourself the name Emmanuel, God with us, that you are ever present. And then when you died and rose again and ascended into heaven, you gave us your spirit to guide us and to walk with us. Lord, thank you that the resurrection was not merely an historical event, but it's a reality and a life, a way to live in which you invite us to join you. Thank you for that promise, for the signs and stories of you at work. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and tune our ears to see how you are at work all around us right now. And moment by moment, day by day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to open up the mic here. I'm going to come down here and I'm going to sit with you. But I want to hear from you. We're going to open up the mic. And how have you seen signs of God's resurrection? How have you witnessed his redemptive story working around you? I gave you three examples of how outsiders are included in the kingdom of God. That's a sign of his resurrection. How ordinary moments can become meeting places with God, and how broken relationships are restored. But I'd love to hear from you. Oh, mic is open. We have some time. Or I could keep preaching, but I think I'd rather hear from you. So the mic is open. As our friend comes up, come on up. Just remember, we love your life story, but we don't need to hear it all today. So remember the five B's: be brief, brother and sister, be brief. So
I work with people with severe disabilities, and it would have been really easy for my organization to say, we are in a state budget crisis, to say, we need all the money for disabled people, and say no care for kids who are brought here by parents from other lands. I don't work for a Christian organization, but the leadership said, we will not do that. Yeah. We will support pregnant women and young kids who need medical care. And I just thought, yes. Hmm. And another quick story. On Friday afternoons, I'm really tired. And this Friday, I said, okay, I'd rather stay home and be in a bunk. But I had the idea that I might feel better if I just went outside and looked for all the green I could. And it's amazing to see all the different shades of green. So, two small stories of God's being near.
Can you say, we all know your name.
I'm Dawn.
Dawn, thank you. Awesome, thanks, Dawn. Beautiful, thank you. Who else? All right. Works great.
Hi, my name's Marcos. I'm grateful for being here. I was across the street for years, and I was looking for somewhere to go, a home church, you know, and I came last Easter Sunday, and I feel great. I feel the love of God here, and he resurrected me, you know, because backsliding, you know, couch potato, and not reading the word, and I said, man, what am I doing? I used to follow you all the time. So I'm grateful for being here. A story about me, I was in the military, and I was in Desert Storm, Desert Shield. I was totally lost, I was angry, and there was a thunderstorm going on, raining. And about ordinary places, I kept on hearing these men singing. I thought they were angels, you know? And it was raining and everything, I was lost. Kept on walking down the pathway, and then I found this tent drenched with water and all. And when I walk in, it's a bunch of Marines and men just praising God. And I was like, wow. And all I can remember was this song that said, call him up, tell him what you want. That's what they kept on chanting over and over again. Yeah, what I want is I need to be helped, you know. But that's where I see God's power, you know, where he meets up in ordinary places where we least expect it. And he calls out to us. And he called out to me this last weekend. And I'm grateful for being here. And I thank you all.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you so much. Come on up, David. It was fun to, I met Marcus last week, and it was fun to be able to tell him, we've been praying for you. We didn't know your name. We didn't know who you were, but we've been praying for our neighbors. And so how cool that God brought you. We're grateful you're here.
I'm David. I'm just really grateful for the healing that Christy and I have been getting this last year. Since I was just reflecting the other day, and about a year ago, Christy was just, she was on oxygen at the house and like barely able to walk to the corner in front of our house. And now is able to like, she walked a mile like recently. And that's amazing. Yeah. Like just to see, she's got a long way to go, but we're just so grateful for that. And for me, like 4 years of crazy long COVID stuff. And I've been trying to ride my bike like 1,000 miles each year. Haven't come anywhere close. I've ridden like 600 miles this year. It's amazing. And so I was riding on Friday, and I was I rode like 40 miles. But I was like, my battery on my electric bike had died, and then my battery on my phone died, and I was late for lunch with my folks. And I'm in Cherry Creek State Park, and I'm just like, what am I worried about? Like, this is amazing. I'm so grateful for what God has been doing and like the healing that I've experienced. And so then I just like was just riding and so thankful. And so anyways, I'm just really grateful for what I've experienced and the healing that God's brought to both Christy and I. So yeah, thank you.
Praise the Lord. So cool. Yeah. Love it. Come on up. This is fun.
Hey, all. My name's Benjamin. I didn't realize what you were going to be preaching on today, but just thought I'd share a story that I shared with Jill this morning. When we talk about resurrection, I think oftentimes it's something that God uses as where we're at. But when we actually talk about resurrection, we don't really oftentimes grasp that. I was reminded, this was a number of years ago, Chrissy and I, as many of you know, were overseas, and we were visiting a friend who was with a people group that was a really hard people group. As Stuart was mentioning, these would be people that would be kind of more in that camp. And he had been praying about it because he felt like the Lord had called him to go out to this place. And I don't know if you're familiar, but like one of the things Jesus says is that there would be the sign of Jonah, and that he would be performing that. And part of it was that Jonah was called to this very hard place, and he had these like 3 days in the whale type thing. And there's these pieces that kind of interlock with this area of resurrection. Anyways, he had been thinking about that, and he had just been praying, and he felt like the Lord needed to show us, he was going to show a sign. Anyway, so there had been a local church in that area who had sent a gentleman out. And so they had raised money, the guy goes out, and 3 weeks after arriving, there was an accident where he was crushed underneath an agricultural truck. And my friend arrived about 10 minutes afterwards, and he's driving us out, and he's just kind of telling us the story. He's like, oh yeah, that's the field where this gentleman had been crushed to death. And he said, I arrived about 10 minutes in, and I just ran up, and I began to pray that the Lord would resurrect this man. This is a guy who has like a crushed chest, right? And that was the first thought that the Lord brought to my friend's mind, was that I should pray that the Lord will resurrect this man. The Lord did not choose to resurrect that man at that time. But it really struck me because I realized I don't think that way. And yet the Lord that I follow, the master did these things and says that we will do even greater things. And I just want to encourage you guys to ask the Lord for what he's calling you to do, whether you're in those really hard places or you're in kind of like the normal places where you're just peeling potatoes. Because I think he calls us to these amazing things and to just stop and walk with him all throughout this. So wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. Love it. Woohoo. She's a master with that wheelchair. Wish she didn't have to be, but you've mastered
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't really want to be a master right. with this wheelchair. Yeah, it's been 16 months in this wheelchair, and it's not been an easy journey. For those of you who are new, I've been diagnosed with stiff person syndrome, and it's basically just affected my feet, and it could be a lot worse. There's lots of people it's affected their entire body, affected their trunk, breaks ribs because of muscle spasms, lots of things like that. But they're on the cusp of finding a cure. Something that could potentially put this disease in remission. And my doctor, who happens to see Celine Dion, but she's my doctor.
But she's known as Donna's
doctor,
I think. Yeah.
Is at Anschutz. And, you know, I'm incredibly blessed that she's my doctor. And she's one of the leading researchers in this whole disease. And, you know, autoimmune diseases, I just think, were created by the enemy. It's a battle in the body, a battle within your body of antibodies attacking your own cells in your own body. But the Lord is the battle, is the master of the battle, and he's going to win. Yeah. You know, and I keep saying that. And so there's hope. There is still hope. And I just want to say ordinary moments where God has met me. I continue in physical therapy because they want me to be prepared for if this cure sometime comes about and it's approved by the FDA, that I will be able to walk someday. So they continue with physical therapy, strengthening my legs, all that kind of stuff. You guys, this week, I stood for 10 minutes.
What? Woohoo! That's so huge!
And then he gave me a 2-minute break, and then I stood for 5 more. So,
wow.
God meets me in those small places, and then I'm able to say, it's because I serve a big God.
And
I'm able to say that to doctors and physical therapists, and I'm able to say that to people. It's like, because they look at me and they're like, man, girl, you have been through a lot of crap. And I'm like, yeah.
And you have.
And I have.
Yeah.
I have, and I got a list, and they read the list, and they're like, holy cow, you have been through it. And I'm like, but I got a big God,
amen.
And that's why I can keep going. And so I just have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God. I'd like to invite the band back up to close us in a song or two, depending on time. While they're coming up, it takes them a minute or two to adjust on the stage. One final person. Anybody else want to come up and say a few words? Okay.
Just real quick. What you see people. So I look around. I see a guy back here I didn't know. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, my name's Vincent. So we talked. Vincent said, I was born in France and my parents were missionaries. And I said to Vincent, I could say exactly that phrase and it would be true. He went to Laos, I went to Cameroon, but anyway, no one's ever said, I was born in France and my parents were missionaries. And I thought, what a nice connection.
Nice. All right. Amen. One more? Oh, one more, Wes said. Would be great.
Otherwise, you're all staring at me.
Right? Anyone else? All right, come on up, Grace.
Hello, my name is Grace. I am like Jill. I am very hard to forgive. I usually say Jesus forgives, I do not, which is not something I'm working on. But this past weekend, I had to face something where I had to help somebody who I don't really have a good relationship with, and I can't forgive currently right now in this particular moment, but he was in crisis for mental health, and I did everything I could to make sure that he got that mental health. Even though I have a hard relationship with him, God spoke to me and said, you need to help him get the help he needs. So maybe one day we can mend that relationship, but currently it's not, but I could still find the Lord to help him, because even though I'm upset with him, I still felt the need to make sure he was safe. So God spoke to me that day, and he tested my faith, and I think that I came out okay on it, so.
All right.
So good. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be diving into this, signs and stories of resurrection, and maybe that God's going to open your eyes to see more of what he's doing right now, and we'd love to hear it. So let me know if you see signs and stories of resurrection. A few things before I send you out. A couple things happening this next week. This coming, is it Thursday night or Wednesday night? Thursday. Thursday this week is a worship night in the chapel from 6 to 8 p.m. So it's a time where we just sit around in a circle and sing and pray and just listen to what the Spirit is doing and saying in us. And so we invite you to come to that. Also, next weekend, there's a lot of celebration, not next weekend, two weekends from now, the 25th and 26th, there's a lot going on. While our men are at man camp, our women are going to be doing some things. We have a women's taco night on Saturday, April 25th. You can sign up in the app for that. And then Sunday, the 26th, is our monthly Women at Wahoo's after the service. So make a note of that. And then real quickly, Wes, so How to Hear God is open for another week?
Yes, we're leaving our book study adventure hike open for until Wednesday. That's the last opportunity to sign up. We have 8 people right now, and you're welcome to join us if you're still interested. You can talk to me or talk to Aaron. Happy to talk.
Awesome. With that being said, would you stand with me as we go out and live in the reality of being resurrected people? Amen. So remember that as you leave this place, that everyone whose path you cross carries a heavy load. There's fear, there's despair, and you don't really even have to scratch below the surface. It's oozing out of everybody you see. So be good to yourself. Be kind. Seriously, be kind to those you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you, who knows you, who loves you, who is present. Grab his hand and grab the hand of a friend, and in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.